Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is another update on the situation in Russia. What I'm trying to do in this series of videos is provide you with a better understanding as to what the implications for the global economy are of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And unfortunately, it's multifaceted and it's hitting us in a variety of different ways. So in this video today, I'm going to go through one of the big issues that you'll have seen in the press everywhere, the price of oil. And the price of oil is now coming firmly into focus because the US and Europe is considering an outright ban on all Russian oil. So as it sits at the moment, we've got sanctions in place against a lot of the big companies in Russia, and that's causing major problems. And the UK and Canada have introduced port bans, so they will no longer accept any Russian ships docking. So that means that the big cargo vessels that are carrying Russian oil cannot unload in the UK and Canada. But the rest of the world is technically still open for business on the oil front. And if this ban is brought in, then that is going to reduce the supply of oil globally. And I'll get into the details of what the implications of that are for oil prices, for the supply of oil, and what the implications are for the global economy. Because oil isn't just used in vehicles, it's used in a variety of different ways. So we'll go through some of that in a bit more detail. But before we get started, if I could ask you at some point during this video to give me a thumbs up if you're enjoying the content. The reason I'm making these videos is that I want to provide a better explanation as to what's going on and also to demystify the world of finance, because I think there's a lot of journalists out there who like to use jargon and talk about things in a way that make them look very intelligent and make you feel that you don't really know what's going on. So I'm trying to break down all those barriers and actually tell you it as it is, to give you the bottom line so that everybody can understand what the implications of what's going on in Ukraine have for the whole of the world. So if that sounds like your sort of thing, then please subscribe. And don't forget that I always include chapters in my videos. So if there's a section that you're not particularly interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next one. So the price of oil is obviously big news. You'll have seen it in other forms of media. Everybody's talking about what's happening with the price of oil. So I want to go through that in some detail. But before we get into that, I wanted to break down what we're talking about when we refer to oil. Because journalists glibly always say the price of a barrel of oil is this or it's that. And I don't think everybody really appreciates what we're talking about when we refer to oil. So I wanted to demystify all of the classifications, because you've probably heard of Brent crude and West Texas Intermediate and crude oil and sweet oil and light oil and heavy oil. So I wanted to just go through some of that terminology quickly before we get into the discussion on the prices. So crude oil is the term that's referred to the oil that is sitting under the Earth's core right now. That is how it exists in its natural state. And when you set up a drilling facility and bring that oil to the surface, that gives you the raw material to then go on and make all of the other products that everybody's familiar with, such as gasoline and diesel and those sort of things. But it doesn't come out of the ground ready to go straight into your car. And the constituent parts of the oil that comes out of the ground have a bearing on how much it will cost to produce the finished product. So there's three main factors that feed into the attractiveness of oil. The first is the level of sulfur within that oil. So if oil has a low sulfur content, that means that it's much easier to refine that oil and make it into gasoline or diesel. So it's referred to as sweet. If it has a heavy sulfur content, then it makes it more difficult, more expensive, and that's then referred to as sour. So you've got sweet and sour crude oil. The next factor in terms of the attractiveness of oil is its density. So if an oil is very dense and thick, then it means that it's more difficult to refine it, and that's referred to as heavy oil. Light oil is far less dense and much easier to refine. So the most attractive type of oil is the lighter oil. And the final factor with regards to oil is its location. And the reason that location is important is that it links directly to the transport costs. So the best possible scenario for oil is for it to be found in the sea, because that means that you can take cargo vessels directly to the oil rigs and load them up straight from source. If you have oil fields that are on land, then you have to get that oil to the coast to then be able to transport it all around the world. So generally speaking, you would need to set up an infrastructure of pipelines that will take the crude oil to the port and either load it directly onto ships where it can be transported to refineries, or more likely, you could set up a refinery yourself at the port, and then you can refine the crude oil into gasoline or diesel or whatever you want to make it into, and then you can transport that higher value good all around the world to your customers. So looking at those three factors, the most attractive type of oil is sweet, light, and found under the sea. Now, when you hear a journalist talking about the price of oil, they will often refer to where that oil is from. And the three main types that you hear are Brent crude, West Texas Intermediate, and Dubai Oman. And those three come from different markets. So Brent crude comes from the North Sea in Europe. The North Sea sits between the United Kingdom and Scandinavia. And a lot of different countries have rights for the drilling of that sea. And Brent crude relates to around about two-thirds of all oil contracts globally because it's very attractive. It is sweet, it is light, and it's found under the sea. So it ticks all three of the boxes that we just talked about. West Texas Intermediate relates to the oil fields in the USA. So these are under the land, and we have pipelines that are taking that oil to the coast. And the attraction of West Texas Intermediate is it's very sweet and light. So it's perfect for producing gasoline and diesel. And West Texas Intermediate is the reference point predominantly for all oil that is traded in America. Dubai Oman oil is heavier and has a higher sulfur content, so it's referred to as sour, but it relates to most of the oil that is traded in the Asian markets. The price of Brent crude has today spiked up to $139 per barrel. Now, that is a price that we haven't seen globally since 2008. And back in 2008, we had the global financial crisis. So that was when the whole world went into recession, which was driven predominantly by a lot of financial engineering and over-leveraging of businesses, which led to a major global crash. So alarm bells have started ringing right now because oil prices are back to the point when we had a major recession. So that tells us that something alarming is happening right now, and there are warning signs flashing all around the world that we could be seeing another recession around the corner. So why are oil prices so high, and why is everybody so concerned? Well, oil prices have risen since the start of 2022 generally. So we've seen a 60% increase in the price of oil. Now that has gone up quite dramatically since Russia invaded Ukraine. But the big turning point right now is that the USA and Europe have both come out and stated that they are now considering banning the purchase of all Russian oil. So as it sits today, you can still buy Russian oil. You may have issues with regards to your philosophy behind that, but it's still technically possible to do a deal to buy Russian oil if you need to. But if there is an outright ban, then that means the only place that Russia will be able to sell its oil is to countries that are not taking part in those sanctions. So they'll still be able to trade with China and possibly some of the rest of Asia, but a lot of the world market will be closed to Russian oil. And the problem with that is that Russia supplies around about 7% of the global supply of oil. Russia produces 7 million barrels of oil per day. So you may be sitting there thinking, well, who cares? We'll just buy it from somebody else. We can buy it from Dubai or Oman or Brent crude. We don't need Russian oil. We can just source it from one of these other countries that produces oil. But the problem is that the supply of oil is limited. So all of the countries that are oil rich, they want to keep the price of oil high. So they have an agreement between all of them that they won't produce more than a certain amount. So there's a network called OPEC, which is 13 countries around the globe who are some of the biggest countries that produce oil. And they have quotas that they set at the start of each year, which set the price of oil and make sure that it doesn't go too high or too low. They want to preserve their profits. They don't want one particular country suddenly flooding the market with lots and lots of oil and bringing the price down dramatically. So they have this agreement to maintain their profit margins. But the problem with it is that it's very difficult for them then to increase their production. And also with the production of oil, there's a lot of infrastructure that is involved in getting oil out of the ground and then moving it all around the world. So it's not straightforward to be able to change things within the matter of weeks or even months. So if we see 7 million barrels of oil disappearing from the global supply chain, it's very difficult to replace that. So the best estimate at the moment is that OPEC may be able to increase its production by 2.5 million barrels at best within the next 2 months. So it will take 2 months to get to that point. So that still leaves us 4.5 million barrels per day short of what we need right now. So that's why prices have started to spike, because the market can see that supply is short and demand is long. And when you have a situation like that, simple economics tells you that prices always rise when demand is greater than supply. And going forward, we can't see how that equilibrium would be reset, because we've got a couple of nations who potentially could fill the gap who have sanctions against them as well. So we've got Iran, who's sanctioned right now, and we've got Venezuela, who have some political issues and have been under sanctions since 2019. So the global markets are looking at the overall position. They can see that there's a shortage of supply, and that's why the price of oil has spiked at 139 today. Now, whilst we would all like to believe that we're moving away from fossil fuels, and we've all got to the point where renewable energy is replacing the need for coal, and we're going to be driving electric vehicles, and therefore we don't need gasoline and diesel and petrol, unfortunately, we're a long way from being at that stage. And the world is entirely dependent upon oil, and it's likely to continue for at least the next 10 years, possibly a lot longer than that. So what we're seeing right now is the impact of a reduction in supply on the global economy. And unfortunately, the increase in price of oil is going to have a direct negative impact on the whole economy, because there are two main factors here. The first is that oil is used for transport. So every single good around the world needs to be transported. So the transport costs are fed into the overall price of all goods. So as transport costs go up, that will increase the price of everything. So that's how transport costs relate to the price of goods. But they also have a negative impact in terms of inflation and the spending power of the money in your pocket. Because most people around the world have vehicles, and they have to put fuel into those vehicles, and the price of that fuel is directly linked to oil. So the prices at the pumps are very sensitive, and they will have moved already, and they will be going up. And you'll know yourself, if you've got a vehicle, that it's getting more and more expensive to fill that vehicle every time you go back to the pumps. And that's likely to continue for the whole of 2022. And there's nothing you can do about that. People don't have large storage areas to be able to store thousands of gallons of gasoline. It's just not feasible. So you just have to pay whatever the going price is. And the going price is going up, unfortunately. And then the final factor with regards to oil prices is that oil and its constituent parts are used in the manufacture of a lot of different products. So plastics and a lot of man-made materials use oil-based products in their manufacturing process. So as the price of oil goes up, that increases the price of those raw materials and therefore feeds through into the finished prices of all of those goods. So we've got a triple whammy here that is going to impact on everybody. What's the summary and conclusion today? Well, clearly the biggest takeaway from today's video is the oil price. We are sitting at a very precarious position right now. It is likely that the US and Europe are going to ban the import of all Russian oil. Now, that will hurt Russia for sure, because they will then need to find new buyers of that oil, and it will drive down the price of Russian oil because there's a limited market for it. But it's likely to hurt the Western world more, because it's not straightforward to increase the supply of oil. So it's going to take some time. It's going to take at least 3 to 6 months to be able to potentially get to the point where we could fill the gap. But it could take even longer than that. It could take 12 months or potentially more than that. And during that period, we are going to see the price of oil rocketing to a point that we've never seen before. It could touch $200 per barrel. And if it does, it is definitely going to have a massive impact on the global economy. At best, we could hope for stagflation. And stagflation is a situation where we've got stagnant economy and inflation. That's how stagflation was created by some clever journalist. He merged those two words together to get stagflation. But that's the best case scenario because inflation is here to stay. We are going to see price rises continue through the whole of 2022. We've got shortages of oil, we've got shortages of food, and we've just got an upward increase in prices that are being driven by all of those factors. So inflation is likely to stay at record levels. The big question is, can the economy start growing to match inflation? And I think the answer to that is no, it can't. So I don't think we'll get to stagflation. I think it's more likely that we're going to hit some form of recession at some point during 2022. And the movement in the price of oil is likely to bring that recession forward because it moves very quickly. We've seen today that the prices are touching around about $140 per barrel. I think it's likely that if the announcement is confirmed that the US and Europe are banning Russia, that it's going to go way beyond 150 really quickly. And those price increases will hurt everybody because everybody needs transport. So the cost of transport is going to go up. So that's going to hurt all household incomes because if you've got a vehicle that you use on a regular basis, it will cost you more to fill up that vehicle. But it's also going to lead to an increase in prices because all goods need to be transported. Transportation costs will go up directly as a result of the increase in oil prices. But also we're going to see manufacturing industry increasing their prices because the cost of their raw materials, which come from the petrochemicals industry, will also be going up. So the triple whammy will hurt all of us. It's indiscriminate. This isn't a tax for the rich. This is a tax for the poor. Everybody will be hit equally by this. So it will damage the economy, it will damage growth, and it's very likely to lead to recession. But the bigger issue on the manufacturing side is that we could potentially see some shortages. So we could see companies not being able to produce their finished products because they're missing a vital part of the ingredients for that manufacturing process. So that will cause those companies to have to stop production, they'll lose money, some employees won't get paid, and we're starting to see how the impact of price rises and these sanctions against Russia are going to feed through into the real world economy. So I'm sorry that I haven't had any good news to share with you today, this is all bad news, but unfortunately the conflict in Ukraine right now, it's only causing bad news. There are no upsides from what's going on over in Ukraine. It's all going to be negative. And the speed of the impact is starting to build up. So the oil prices will hit everybody really quickly. The prices at the pumps change almost instantly. So you'll probably find that it's 10 or 20% more expensive to fill up your vehicle next time you go to the pumps. And that is going to impact on everybody. So you'll have less money to spend. You'll go out less. You'll do fewer things that you don't have to do. So it's already starting to feed through. Hopefully you've liked the structure and the content that I'm providing you with. What I'm trying to do here is keep everybody up to speed as to what the possible impact of this crisis in Ukraine will have on your everyday life. And if that's the sort of thing that you like, then please give me a thumbs up for the content of this video. And don't forget to subscribe if you're interested in watching more of these type of videos going forward.